mind. Thank you, God, for your word. Speak to us through it. Help us remove our distractions and pray that we would understand how precious you are, how precious Jesus is, and how much responsibility we have as a result of you saving us. Too much is given, much is required. Lord, we don't want to take a pass while we're living here on this earth. We want to be useful for the kingdom of God. So speak to us about that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Paul stated in Philippians 2, verse 12, that we need to be working out our own salvation. Not work for salvation, we're saved by grace. But once we're saved, a Christian, we need to work it out. You see, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. We're going to remember that in communion today. But we are to work out this new life in Christ. We're to live it out, our Christian faith, to the fullest. Not just profess it, not just tell people we're a Christian. We are to live out and work out our Christian life so that we attain what God saved us for. God has a plan for all of us. We're either going to blow it or get it. I don't know about you, but I hate to miss out on things. When someone tells you, oh, you should have been there, you should have seen what happened. Oh, no, I wasn't there. We want all that God has for us. See, Christianity is more than a religion you put down on some paper to tell what your faith is. It's a lifestyle. And I wish everyone would understand that. Jesus said, to be a Christian, to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He didn't say, put your name on the roll at church, or go to this church, or read these books, or do these things. He said, follow me. First thing, deny yourself. Boy, that's not popular today. Deny what you want to do for the sake of the Lord. Deny self. You'll never be able to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. I'll never be able to pick up my cross and follow Jesus through this life unless I first deny myself. Say no to the flesh. No to the pleasures that it'd like to dwell in. Say no to what I think life should be about. Self-denial is part of the Christian life. God first. He's first. Nothing else. People might say, well, my spouse is first, my country is first, my job is first. God first. That's the way it needs to be in life with a Christian. When you have right priorities, your decisions are easy. I learned that a long time ago because things would get very confusing. I says, wait a minute. I've got a whiteboard in my head. And on it I wrote, my priorities, God. It's every decision that's written there, God, wife, children. Then you can have your country, others, whatever. But if you don't have those priorities, you make bad decisions. You won't be finding that life that God has for you. And it's wonderful to find out why you're here and what God has for you. A non-compromising life. It's wonderful. But if we don't deny ourselves, well, I don't feel like doing that today. Pick up a cross, whatever it takes, and follow Jesus. And along that road, there are many blessings. And it develops character, truth, life, love. It develops all these things that God wants us to have. You do a better job. You serve better because you're doing it for the Lord. And so Paul is teaching these people, we must live out our Christian life with God first. That's the only way you're going to find what you were here for. We're lights of the world. And we're to be different than those in the world. You see, we're soldiers for Christ, presenting truth. People need truth. We are the truth bearers. We are a new creature in Christ, and we should always reflect the Son, Jesus Christ, by living out our faith, by our decisions. In verse 12, you know, Paul said, you know, his desire was to be all that he could be on this earth. He wanted all God saved him for in verse 12. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. I was saved for a reason, and I so want to attain that. I don't want to miss out why I'm here. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? I have come that they may have life, and they may have it, what? More abundantly. People are seeking their life out there in things and pleasure and getting involved in certain things, and it doesn't satisfy. Jesus is the place for a more abundant life, a peaceful life, a life that will not only bless you, but bless those around you. And that's what we need to be doing. Always standing for truth and love and joy and peace. And so Paul wanted that, not only for himself, but for the church. And he said how he began to do that. Verse 13, I forget the things behind me. He did a lot of things he wasn't proud of. He thought he was a God's man persecuting Christians. Found out he was wrong. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. The past can hinder you, can cause you to miss out on the present and the future. I wish I had never made mistakes. But you know what? I made one or two mistakes in my life. 1 or 2,000 or million. You see, we make mistakes. And especially before we knew Jesus, we did some bad things. It's gone. It's forgiven. We can't let it hinder us. Maybe today you're saying, oh, I wish I could start brand new. You can. Today, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. That plan that God has for you. Isn't that awesome? God gives us a chance to do that. We reach forward. We live for what God has for us now in the future. Today is the only day we have. Use it. We use it. Did Paul achieve this Christian life, the life God wanted for him? A life well-pleasing to God? Not perfection. He says, I'm not perfect. But did he attain what God had for him? Did he keep growing and keep reaching and achieving? Well, yes, he did. And it's possible for us. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7 and 8. Look what he writes when he thinks he's at the end of his life. Don't you wish they would put this on your tombstone? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, all that are looking forward to the Lord. Hey, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now I'm going to receive that crown of righteousness. Isn't that great? It gets difficult at times. Can't compare, though, to what we have in store for us. Now, look how Paul achieved these things. How could he say, I fought the good fight? I've done it. Look at verse 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press toward the goal. I keep going forward. for the prize that God has for me because I am in Christ Jesus. I'm focused. That word means I strain. I strain, I press. It means to pursue, to follow after, follow, get to the finish line. You know, Paul uses athletic terms in his letters. He must have been a guy that really loved the games. He used athletic terms. He says, I press. That means intense endeavor to reach the goal because he wants the prize. The Greeks also use this word to describe a hunter eagerly pursuing his prey. The idea is to press on, to strain, to pursue the prize, the rewards that God has for you and me, the life that he has for you and me, and that crown of righteousness. All of us should want what God has for us and be reaching for that prize, the crown of righteousness, being in heaven with the Lord. See, the devil doesn't want that for you. He's your enemy. Therefore, there's a battle. Did you ever wake up and you don't feel right? And through the day, you don't feel right and you don't know what's wrong. You can't pin it down. And you just feel bummed out and maybe distant from God. And you're just, you know, you're not nice to be around that day. You know, you just have one of those days. What's wrong? I don't know. Just having one of those days. You know what it is? Satan attacking you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians there's this spiritual battle going on. A battle. He doesn't want you to have that life that God has for you. He wants you to not only get discouraged, but then turn to the world for relief. That's what he wants. Don't go to the Lord. Anything, you know, this is a saying I remember, you know, forever. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Now, a lot of people apply that to their job and things. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. I say that a lot. And we seem to apply that rule in a lot of other areas of life, but it seems in the Christian faith, many don't apply that rule. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. Other areas of life, we do put in a lot of effort. But in a Christian life, we can get slack, lazy, not press on, not reach forward, focus on these things, not focus on Jesus. We need to focus on the prize at the end of this journey. That's what we need to focus on. We should live out our faith. The good news for us is there's more than one winner in this race. When there's only one winner, ooh, the pressure's on. There's more than one winner. So it doesn't mean, though, that you can run any way you want or be slacking off and you're still going to get the same prize. You know, it's not like Little League where everybody gets a trophy. It wasn't in my day in sports. The winner got the trophy. And at least it made you strive for something in life. And we should realize that in this race, there's more than one winner because you're running against yourself, your own time. You see? That's the good news. God knows what he's given you and what you can do. We're all responsible for our own life. We're running our own race, not a race against all the other Christians. Well, I'm doing better than them, but not as good as them. But I'll take the middle. That's okay. No, we're running against ourselves. You know, actually, we should be pushing ourselves to receive all God has for us, all the rewards he has for us, because we are running against ourselves. We don't want to get lazy. You know, it's like a runner trying to always better his time each time out. One strains, presses to set a new time for themselves. Well, I ran the marathon in 3 hours and 2 minutes last year, but this year I did it in 2 hours and 30 minutes, the 26-mile marathon. Can you believe that? You shouldn't believe that. I can't do that. I'm just kidding. But you're running against yourself. You're running against yourself. So discipline is required. Discipline is required in our Christian walk. We read, we pray, we serve, we study, we stay in fellowship, we get rid of all those other things that can become a hindrance to us in our Christian race. They can be good things, worldly things, but they're not godly things. They're not drawing us closer to God. You see, we are to work out spiritually, and we minister. Did you ever watch the 100-meter race in the Olympics? Usually there are a few runners ready to cross the finish line at the same time. We're talking about tenths of seconds. Usually near the finish line, there's a few of them. But what do you see them do when they are right near that tape? They press forward, that's that word. They push out their chest and try to be, and I've seen people reach out and do that and actually tumble after and get hurt. But they won. You must press on. Now if a guy says, well, I don't want to get hurt. The Lord of the Flies, they call Satan. He sent a fly this morning. And boy, he's not going to win today. And so usually that one that pays the price wins the prize. There's a lot of hurt in the Christian life. People will persecute you, speak badly of you, ignore you. You know, all kinds of things. But that's nothing compared to what God gives us. And we need to really want it. And we receive not only heaven, but rewards in heaven. One may choose to be a lazy Christian, walk on the track of life for Jesus, just walking along, being lazy, not really caring about achieving much for themselves or for the Lord. Hey, I go to church on Sunday. Some may say, well, I'm happy, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm glad just to get into heaven. How sad. What about glorifying God while here? What about sharing the Lord so others can be saved? What about receiving all he has for you? Some will say, I don't care about rewards in heaven. I'm just happy to get there. I know this. If God talks about them in the Bible, it's got to be pretty good. And I want all God has for me. And you know this, when you get there, you'll care. What about these rewards? What are we talking about? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There's a lot in there. See, we're running, but we need to be temperate. We need to be under control. Watch how we live. In our case, each one receives the prize as they run forward. But rewards will not all be the same. I don't know what they're about. But we want to achieve what the Lord has for us in heaven. And you notice it says to be temperate. And when he says in verse 26, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. He's not shadow boxing. Just faking it. He's in the battle. And he disciplines his body and brings it into subjection so he can preach to others that I won't become disqualified. We don't want to just be a preacher and a teacher and sharing the gospel and live any way we want. We don't want to be a phony. We want to be true Christians. You can tell if someone's sharing from the heart or just talk. You can tell those people that have passion and love and really care about something. You see, let's see what those rewards are. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this, you first have to have the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. See, two types of material here. One good knot, one knot. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So all of our works that we've done for the Lord are going to be tested. He'll know the motivation. Did I do it to be seen by others or for glory or to please myself? Why did I do it? Or did I do it for the Lord or to bless the Lord and bless others? It's going to be revealed by the Lord's fire of what sort it is. And if your work endures, yeah, this was done for the Lord, you will receive a reward. But in verse 15, say your work is burned. Hey, you did a lot, but you had the wrong motivation. But he himself will be saved. So it's nothing to do with your salvation, your work for the Lord. It's got to do with what type of work it was. Some things will be burned up. Maybe you don't even have any works to be burned up. That's sad. You're there in heaven and they say, okay, bring up Jim's pile here. Wait, there isn't any. Wouldn't that be sad? Never did anything for the Lord? Did the Lord's work? Life can get burdensome, trying, difficult, but we can't let things in this life get us down, overwhelm us in running this race. We're going to get into it in, you know, a few weeks, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, we press forward. We can get through with Christ. Did you ever win anything? Wasn't it a wonderful feeling when you won something? It's great. You need to remember that and persevere and win that prize the Lord has. You know, when you are 10 miles out from the finish line at a marathon, you don't see the finish line. But you know it's there. And so these things we have in the Lord, these rewards and the crown of righteousness, we don't see them, do we? But we know they're there. Life is a marathon. It's not a short race, it's a marathon. And the end is there. And we don't know when. But we know it's there. It's different for everyone. We need to press on. Live for the Lord. Follow him. It's there. Because in life, you can get a day where you feel, hey, this is so unreal to me, my faith. Eternity, heaven and hell, and all of this. It's real. It's there. The prize awaits us. You see, we don't see heaven, but it's there for you. The prize is what Paul seeks. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read that. We're going to read one thing again. 2 Timothy 4. In verse 8, he says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. We're going to get that crown from the Lord on that day that I'm there. And also to all who believe and look for his appearing. It's there. We're going to get it. We're going to get these rewards. They're there. But we don't see it now. We know by faith. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, there it is, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. All right. You see, Christ died for us and the prize awaits us. Jesus pressed on the cross. He didn't come off of it. He stayed there for you and me so we could be there and receive that crown of righteousness. It wasn't comfortable, but he did it for you and for me. It hurt. Christ died. He pressed on the cross. We must all, you know, we all must get in the game, get into our faith and get on that track and run and become a finisher. We don't want to just be in the stands cheering, an onlooker, cheering for the competitors. We're the competitors. And we've been handed this treasure, the gospel, to share with others. We don't want to just be watching on TV. We need to be running, finishing the race. And then in verse 15, Paul gives an exhortation to the believers. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. What is he saying here? He's exhorting him. He says, okay, now let all of us who are mature, this word means completeness, mature. He says, now I'm talking to all of you that are full-grown Christians, mature. Are all of us here full-grown Christians, mature Christians? He says, I'm sure you'll have the same mind as me. We're going to see eye to eye on these things I'm sharing with you. All you mature Christians are going to get it. He says, as many as are mature have the same mind as me. You're going to understand what I'm talking about. You're going to believe these things. If you don't have the same mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He says, even if you don't have the same mind, maybe you're not a mature Christian. But as you seek the Lord, God will reveal this to you. Maybe you're a new Christian. He says, God will reveal this to you because if you're a believer, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and we continue to grow. That's why we go to Bible study. We're in the Word. We fellowship. We worship. We live for Jesus. We grow. You know, we grow, and then God, as we're growing, keeps revealing things to us, and then we're responsible for what we know. When you hear the Word of God like we do each time we meet, we're responsible for it. Maybe you haven't grown to that point, but today you are, and you hear this, say, oh, wow, I've got to get with it. And I've got to grow. Dick loves Jane. Jane loves Dick. They have a dog named Spot. Spot loves Dick and Jane. They love him. That's first grade reading. Do you remember that? Are you still reading those old books? Or are you reading the Bible? That's where mature Christians need to be. You don't want fiction. You want fact. That'll help you in life. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you to be a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a Christian, a minister, a pastor, a teacher, a worker, a housewife, a homemaker, a laborer, whatever. The Bible will help you. Why waste your time on things that can't help you? You won't achieve God's plan for your life. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, people take this different ways. You're best taking it the way it's written. Because people read that and say, see, I don't need to exercise or anything. That's not good for me. I'm just going to get into the Word of God. No, you got to take care of your body. Because it says, for bodily exercise profits a little. That means it profits. Don't you want a profit? Bodily exercise. It profits a little. It keeps us sound. It doesn't say, don't bother exercising. No, it says, bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness It's profitable for all things. Living according to God is profitable for our things, getting into the Word and living it. Why is it more profitable? Because it helps the life that now is, your life here, and of that which is to come. It's good here and in the hereafter. Isn't that great? It helps you here and it helps you to get there. It's a blessing to us. So we should be exercising spiritually, becoming more godly. 1 Peter chapter 2, a way to grow, to mature, to be that mature Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, first what we do is lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. Put off the old things in your life. Wash out your mouth with soap. Get into the Word of God. You know, don't be a hypocrite. Get rid of anger. But in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That's how we grow, the Word. Desire it, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We need to be into the Word of God. So lay aside these other things and get into the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul exhorts Timothy here. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, the word of God, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be, there it is, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How do we get to that point? How do we get complete? A mature Christian must be in the Word of God. And I'll tell you, Sunday morning isn't going to do it. If you eat every day, then I would read the Word every day. Then the last verse today, verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. What he's saying here, obey the truth, both mature Christians and not, obey the truth that God has revealed to you. We are all growing, maturing. I didn't know all I know now when I was first a Christian, even the first couple of years. But we all have some of God's truth revealed to us, and we need to obey it and walk in the love and knowledge of God. But the point is, keep growing, maturing, pressing on, and be responsible what God has revealed to us, and be single-minded. God, we thank you for your word today. We pray this morning as we receive communion that we would remember what Jesus did for us. He pressed on so that we might live. He gave his life for me and for you so that we could enjoy heaven and the rewards we have waiting there. Lord, I pray we remember that this morning as we partake. And I pray, Lord, these words we've read today would instill us, exhort us, instruct us to move on, to get up and live out this Christian life as soldiers for Christ. It'll be a blessing to you and to others. We pray that we wouldn't get distracted by the enemy or our flesh, but be good and faithful servants. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.